we'll see. I appreciated the songs this morning and Billy's communion meditation because it does all apply to what we're going to talk about this morning. Our text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And Paul reminds us that we need to strive to keep our eyes upon God. When we met around the table just now, the Lord's table, we do so each week for many reasons, but one of them is to help keep us focused on what the new week is about. It's about knowing God and looking to God and in knowing that He is in our lives and He's leading us and taking care of us, but not just for the here and now, but for eternity. Jesus came not just so we could have life here, but that we could have abundant life here that would last for eternity. So we keep our eyes upon God, upon eternity. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to do that. But in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, Paul, in the context, is talking about his own struggles, the difficulties he faced. And in life, we face difficulties in basically two categories. One is just life itself. Everybody suffers in a variety of ways. Sometimes horribly, sometimes mildly, and anywhere in between. But life is about struggle. Life has pain. Life has disappointment. Life has hurt. Life has despair at times. And another aspect, the other kind of suffering and struggle, is because we're Christians. You know, Paul talked a lot about that. He was so committed to the Lord that he suffered horribly at the hands of God's creation. Many times beaten, stoned, nearly to death a couple of times. He knew what it was to be whipped. He suffered greatly for Jesus Christ. We might wonder why. It's because he looked to God and why Jesus came. And that was to give us the hope of eternal life. This life is solely about choosing God or not. When you think about all the people who have ever lived, people who have really given of themselves and made a difference in this world, they're gone. And we still appreciate some of the difference maybe people made. But people are gone. Their influence is largely gone. Who remembers anyone from 1,000 years ago in Southeast Asia? Or how about Alaska? See, we come and go. What lasts is our relationship with Jesus. That's all you and I will ever take out of this life. All the good we do, we leave here. You know, the good things go with this as far as God blessing us. We're going to talk about here in a second. But all our physical possessions, all the things that we strive for here, we leave behind. We came into this world with nothing. We go out of this world with nothing except a relationship with Jesus or not. That's what it comes down to. So when we're looking at how we live our lives, and we go through the struggles, we can, as Billy pointed out, we can wonder, well, if God's a God of love, why does He let all this happen? Well, He lets it all happen because of man's choices, sin. But because of God's love, He came Himself to pay for our sin so that we could have the hope of being with Him in eternity. Because again, that's what life is about. Choosing where we want to spend eternity. Do we want to be with God or not? And being with God is not something we can do, because we're sinners. Doesn't matter how good of a person we might be, we're still sinners. And we can't get to God. We can't get to eternity on our own. All we can do is live and die and then face the consequence of that. But because of God's love, we struggle through this life, but we have a strong hope. A hope that keeps us focused and fills us with joy, even in the midst of suffering, because we know where we're going. Life is a journey. You know, and think about this. When you go to the movies and you know it's going to have a happy ending, you know, But because you know it's going to be a happy ending, you can put up with watching the hero of your movie go through hard times. The struggles of life, the disappointments, the hurts, the sacrifices. But you know it's going to end well. And folks, that's our life. We go through struggles. It's hard, but we know it's going to end well. And that's what Paul is telling us. Keep your eye on the end of the movie. Keep your eye on the end of your life, because that's where the good stuff really starts. Beginning in verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." He's just been talking about all of his struggle and all the opposition and all the suffering. But he says, "But therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away." Boy, aren't we all feeling that? Physically, we're all wasting away. "Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." We can lose heart easily, can't we? When the struggles of life come our way, we can get discouraged. We can, you know, say, "Oh, woe is me." We can get caught up in self-pity. We can look to others and seek others' help, and we should. But sometimes we do so out of more of a sense of desperation than realizing that when I need help, it can be a blessing to others to offer help to me. Because we are all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He wants to work through all of us. Because as Paul says here, the struggles we have are light and momentary. Easy for him to say, and yet he knows what he's talking about. He has suffered more than I ever will in this life. The persecutions and the trials of life, he said, compared to eternity, these things are light and temporary. It's a frame of mind. Whatever I must go through, whatever my struggles in life, whether it's through serving Christ or just getting older and having health problems, it's God who will see me through. This is only for now, but it's not permanent. Far too many people think in terms of permanency regarding this life, like everything is crucial about this life. But what's crucial is the life to come. We go through life. We have our health issues, go through surgeries, go through financial loss, and we can be devastated. And yet we look at people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, who suffered similarly, and those who knew God praised God because they knew that God always had the power to see them through their struggles, because they knew where they were going. The book of Hebrews praises Abraham and others of the Old Testament because even though they struggled so much and they didn't get all the promises that God made during their lifetime, because many of those had to do regarding us, you know, the future from Abraham's time. But yet Hebrews says that they looked beyond. They looked toward the reward. They looked to where they were going. They knew what Jesus proclaimed. Lay up treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. How do we do that? By keeping our eyes on the Lord. When we want to lay up treasure here on earth, what do? Well, we look at our checkbook and we do our figuring and our eyes were focused upon saving money. Earning money and saving money. Our eyes are focused on that. But when we look at our overall life, where we want it to go, we need to be thinking more than just good health, thinking about more than just where will I retire, what will it be like, or where will I be buried when I die. I mean, those things are important to consider, but our eyes, our vision needs to be beyond that. I know where I'm going. I know who holds my hand, and I know He's going to be with me. The day I die, not only does my spirit leave my body, but so does the Holy Spirit that was given to me when I became a Christian. Because I am not alone. You are not alone. We never die alone. We're never alone because we have God within us. And when we die, the angels are there and we're ushered into what comes next. And in time, God's timing, He brings this world to an end, and those who belong to Him, who've longed to be with Him, will be with Him forever in eternity. That's what we have to look forward to. So it's more than just, what am I going to do next year or the year after? It's looking to what God is doing. We can keep from losing heart by believing God. Why do people have a hard time believing? Well, because God is unseen. We see the evidence of God everywhere, but God is unseen. And yet, how many things do we, people today, believe in that we do not see? Have you ever seen inside, physically, a living cell? If you're a scientist, maybe you have. I haven't. I just take people's word for it, that our bodies are made of cells. But I haven't seen it. But because those who have written about it, I believe it. And likewise with God, those who have seen God have written about God, and therefore I believe it because I see the evidence of God. I don't need to see God to believe Him. And so for us, we need to believe God. And believe God is not just believing that He exists, but believe what He says. In going back up a little bit further, verse 13, Paul wrote, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence." You see what he believes? It's believing God. He believed God was going to raise him from the dead and usher him into eternity. And because that was such an important belief for Paul, he was willing to suffer through anything. How strongly do we believe God's word? When God says something, do we believe Him? Or do we reject what He says? If we start getting picky about what we accept and what we don't accept from what God tells us, our faith is going to be shaky. But when we look to God and believe Him, because this is what He says, He says what He means, it means what He says, that can help us to keep strong. I know where I'm going because God said so. Paul said there in verse 16 that we are being renewed daily, inside. Inside, renewed daily. What does he mean by that? I think he's talking there about communing with our God. When we believe God, we want to know more. We want to hear more of God's Word. We want to spend some time in His Word, allowing the Spirit to teach us and help us to understand and apply what He's saying to our daily living and our walk with God. He wants us to pray. Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." Now, how do you do that? Well, you go through your day conscious of God's presence, and He's there with you as your dearest friend that you can talk to at any moment because He's right there. And so the praying without ceasing is always recognizing His immediate presence. He's not just way out there somewhere. He's not just out there somewhere where He only hears us at nighttime when we go to bed and pray, or we pray over mealtime. He's with us constantly. And we can talk to Him at any time because we're aware of His presence. Rhonda and I went on vacation a month ago and went to see our daughter and her family. And we had a really, really nice time, very relaxing, and just one of our better vacations, I think. And the thing was, one of the things that happens when you're married for a while is you don't talk. Right? I see a lot of smiles. The more you get to know someone, the less you tend to talk because you're comfortable with each other. And then when something needs to be said or you just feel like saying something, you just say it because, well, your partner's right there. You know, you don't have to have 100% verbal conversation all the time to communicate. Just knowing your loved one is right there beside you or close by speaks volumes and gives you comfort and peace of mind, because at any moment you can verbally talk. But there's the nonverbal talking too. You know, the smiles, the touch, the frown, the stare, whatever it might be. Communication, being together. And that's what God wants, for us to be that aware of Him and to want to communicate. So we're aware, and then we have those moments where we want to be in His Word, when we have the opportunity to actually open the Bible and study it. And we want to be able to talk to Him at any given time, just casually, like, because you know He's right here. He is faithful, and He wants us to be faithful in our troubles. Whatever our troubles, because we know God and we can talk to Him about anything, He wants us to hold on to Him even through our troubles. When you read the Psalms, and I never liked the Psalms when I was a kid, a teenager, 20, 30, 40s. But as I got older, I began to appreciate the Psalms. Because you look at what David especially wrote. There were times where David was angry, times where David was calling down, in essence, hellfire from heaven. You know, times he said, "Lord, here are my enemies, knock their teeth out." And he says that once in one of his Psalms. But then in the course of the Psalms too, then he's relying upon the grace of God and the peace of God. What David understood was that he could talk to God about anything. And through his struggles, he could express his own anxiety. He could express his own fears. He could express his anger. He could just let it all out with God, because God was with him. And that enabled him to be faithful, to hang in there with God, because he could express his frustrations, but then go on walking with God. A man after God's own heart. Now keep in mind, the time that David failed drastically, his lust for Bathsheba, the affair, arranging for the death of her husband. When did that happen? At a time in his life where things were comfortable for David, and he stopped praying. He stopped talking to God. And when he stopped that communication with God, Satan stepped in and led him astray. It can happen so easily. We can lose our way when we stop focusing upon God and talking to Him. Paul here says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. You know, you don't have to have faith in what you can see. You don't have to have faith in what you can see. But it takes a lot of faith in what you can't see. And it's amazing the things that people put their faith into, of things you can't see. There's so many philosophies and ideas out there, so many concepts that people throw around, and many people will believe. But they're things you can't see. But we believe in that which can't be seen, but has been revealed. God has revealed Himself over time through His prophets, through His people, through the writings that He's had His people write down. We've seen Him throughout human history. We see Him in nature. And we see Him in lives changed, even to this very day. And so God says, you can't see me, but you can see the effects of me. You can know me. I've revealed myself to you through my prophets, through my Son. I've told you what it's all about. I've done all I can do, except each day I'm with you personally to help you, to guide you, to love you, to forgive you. But for you to take advantage of that, you need to be looking to me, he's saying, looking to God. Keep your eyes upon God. The things unseen, the promises of God yet to be fulfilled. He's fulfilled the vast majority of His promises, But the greatest is still to come, and we can trust God to keep His word. So I don't know what you each are going through maybe this very day. We all go through our struggles. Maybe this is a good time, a peaceful time. Maybe it's a stressful time. But whatever you go through, fix your eyes upon the Lord. Keep them fixed. Because your life is about that. Your life is not just about your employment. It's not just about your family. It's not just about what you like to do here in this world. It's first and foremost about God. He has paid the ransom for you. He's paid for you. But whether He gets you or not is whether or not you really want to be saved. You really want to be with Him. And to show God that, we need to keep our eyes upon Him. It's too easy to turn a blind eye to God, just like David. But God's always calling when we do, always calling us to repentance, always sending us a prophet like Nathan to call us back. But the choice is always ours. Will I come back to Him like the prodigal son, or will I not? But you know what? If we keep our eyes on God, we don't have to worry about that. If we look to Him, it's not about how good I am or, you know, what struggles I sin with. What matters is, are my eyes on God? Am I learning from Him? Am I loving Him? Am I wanting to be pleasing to Him? Am I really wanting to be in eternity? Am I really preparing myself for eternity? And if we can say yes to all of that, then we're in good shape. We're in good shape. Right now we're going to sing a song called I'm Forever Grateful. Because this is the thing. God never waited for us to come to Him. But He came for us. It's always been that way. God's always come for us. The call for salvation. God's always making the call. It's never been our own idea. But God says, I love you. And I want you with me in life here and in eternity. I've made it possible through Jesus. So all you need be is grateful and show it by lives that are growing in love with Him. Let's stand together, shall we, to sing I'm Forever Grateful.